This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This hour, what Americans are spending their money on this holiday season and how that affects the overall economy. With just 10 days left to Christmas, many retailers hoped that shoppers would flock to the stores this past weekend, but there were mixed results, due at least in part to another major storm in the Northeast. This is important because we consumers are the engine of the American economy these days. How much we buy, how confident we feel about our jobs, and the freedom with which we spend our money are all critical factors. And the holidays are the most important time of the year. So, what are you buying this year? Cell phones, video games, spider hole Elmo, a new computer? Do you feel comfortable spending money in this economy? Give us a phone call. We'd like to hear from you at 1-800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, or you can email us, TOTN, at npr.org. Some economists think it would be better for shoppers to spread their spending throughout the year instead of concentrating on just one big month. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the program. But first joining us is Mark Zandi, chief economist at economy.com. He's with us from his office in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And Mark, good to have you back.
It's good to be with you, Neil.
How are Christmas sales going thus far?
Good. They're solid. Not as good as many retailers might have hoped, but good solid Christmas, 5-6% growth this year compared to 3-4% last. So it's a good improvement.
Now, give us an idea. How important is the holiday season, first, to retailers?
It's important. It accounts for about a fifth of their sales during the year, and it accounts, more importantly, for about a third of their profits. So for retailers, it is a key part of the year.
And can you extrapolate from that to say how important is it to the American economy at large?
It is important. Consumers drive this economy. They account for more than two-thirds of all spending. So what consumers are doing and how much they're doing of it is key to how the economy is going to perform, particularly now. The economy obviously has been through a very difficult period, and it's important that we have a good, solid Christmas to gain a bit of momentum going into 2004.
Is Christmas more or less important than it used to be in terms of, again, we're talking about retail sales and the economy here?
A bit less important. If you go back 20, 25 years ago, Christmas sales accounted for about a fourth of retailer sales. As I mentioned a minute ago, it's about a fifth today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become a bit less important over time.
How come?
A couple of reasons. One, retailers have gotten pretty good at trying to induce consumers to spend their dollars all throughout the year. They use price discounts, sales, better financing terms. Shoppers have gotten more savvy. They're looking for deals all year round. They're not just waiting until Christmas time to go out and buy that present because they know they can get good deals at other times during the year.
Unlike me, but yeah, go ahead.
Me too, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I have a very savvy shopping wife, so that helps. Also, the demography of our country has changed. If you go back 25, 30 years ago, I think Christmas was a lot more important to a lot more of us, but what we mean by Americans have changed. We have a very diverse population that looked at different kinds of holidays and are more interested in other holidays other than Christmas, and so they're spending their dollars at other times during the year.
What do you attribute to this year's improved sales?
A few things. Tax cuts, massive tax cuts, which benefit everyone right through early 2004 when we start getting our refund checks, and many of us will find that our tax bills are a little bit smaller, but we all are paying less in taxes. Aggressive mortgage borrowing. A lot of us have gone out and gotten home equity loans. We've refinanced our mortgages and taken cash out in the process. And even in all these home sales, people are pulling cash out, so there's a lot of cash generated from that. And then more recently, the better stock market has lifted spirits, particularly for higher income and higher net worth households. And most importantly of all, the recent improvement in the job market. We've seen some job growth since the summer, and that's been very vital to better Christmas sales.
Well, in that improved environment, and again, people will have questions about how long that's all going to last, but nevertheless, it's here. In that improved environment, what is selling well and what isn't?
Consumer electronics are selling very well. Everything from DVD players, MP3 players, my kids are into these video games, and they're getting a lot of that. Household furnishings, we all have gone out and bought a lot of homes in the past few years, and now we're filling them up with stuff. Luxury items are doing very well. I noticed that jewelry sales are very strong, and this doesn't apply to me. maybe you folks at NPR are a little bit better off, but
those big salaries in public radio, yeah.
You know what, folks are buying it at sort of the top end. They're buying a lot of boats and pleasure aircraft, so that's a sign that times are good again for the very high net worth households.
Can't make up my mind between a one engine or two.
I'm with you. What's not selling? Well, toys are a bit off this year. I guess there's no blockbuster toys out there like there have been in Christmas past. Sporting goods are down a little bit, not nearly as strong as they have been in Christmases past. Apparel is a bit weak.
You say apparel?
Apparel, yeah, just not as strong as it has been.
And broadly speaking, who amongst us can afford to spend more this year?
Well, we're all a little bit better off in general, but the folks that are really much better off are indeed those high-income, high-net-worth households. They're obviously benefiting from the run-up in stock prices. They are large stockholders. Most of those folks own a home, and housing values in places like California and the Northeast, Florida, have risen very, very strongly, and that's helped quite a bit. And those tax cuts, everyone's gotten a little bit of a benefit from a tax cut, but higher income, high net worth households have benefited enormously from those cuts. Lower income households, they've had a bit more difficult time. Of course, the job market is improving, but it's still very soft. There's still a lot of unemployed people, and if you're unemployed, it's really difficult to get a job. Global competition has really hurt folks that work in manufacturing, and manufacturing sector continues to lay off. And many lower-income households have borrowed very aggressively in recent years, and they're highly levered. And debt is a problem. That's why personal bankruptcy filings and mortgage delinquency rates and credit card charge-off rates are all at record highs. So lower-income households are struggling a bit. Higher-income households are doing a bit better.
How do economic shifts, how do demographic shifts affect our ability as consumers? We keep reading about the aging of the baby boomers, for example.
Well, that affects largely what we spend our money on. Here's a key statistic for you, Neil. What is the largest single year age group in the country? Any guess?
The 45-year-olds.
Oh my! You know, this is why you're running the show. It's actually 44. What's the second largest age group, roughly speaking? We'll see how good you really are.
I'd say 28.
Not bad. There probably is an underling below you, Neil, who could probably get this one. It's 14, the child of the 44-year-old.
Only wrong by an order of magnitude there.
I was being kind. Well, 44, 14, think about what those folks are buying, and you'll get a good sense of what, broadly speaking, we're spending our money on. 44-year-olds, of course, are now spending a lot of their money on second vacation homes. They're also spending money on health care, and that's why we're, as a society, spending a lot more on health care. Those 14-year-olds are spending a lot on those games and those consumer electronics, those MP3 players, DVDs. And of course, they're also demanding a lot of educational services. A lot of those kids are in school. So those two ages will tell you a lot about where we are and where we're headed.
And before we leave you, Mark, I guess there is no way to overlook the large number of people who are having a terrible time in the past few years. All the jobs that were lost in the recent recession. There has been, as you noted, some improvements in recent months, but not enough to make up for all those people who lost their jobs in the first place.
Yes, that's right, and it's important not to forget that economists like myself get kind of caught up in the euphoria of the recent improvement in the economy, but it's important to remember that this has only been very recent, and there are still 8.5 million people that are unemployed. And as I mentioned, if you're unemployed, it's very difficult to find a job. The length of unemployment is about as long as it's been, since the government's been collecting statistics on that, which goes all the way back to the Great Depression. So there are big parts of the country. There are many people who are still struggling as we approach this Christmas.
Mark Zandi, thanks very much.
It was a pleasure.
Mark Zandi, chief economist for economy.com, with us from his office in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And with us now in Studio 3A is Russell Roberts, an economics professor from George Mason University. It's nice for you to come in today.
My pleasure.
How much, going back to what Mark Zandi was saying, do you agree with his assessment on how much the economy depends on the retail sector around the holidays?
Yeah, I think he's got it in the right magnitude. It's for a lot of businesses, especially retail businesses, it's something on the order of 20, maybe even higher, 25%. part of their year, the last 2 months. If that was, if sales were spread evenly across the year, it'd be 8.5 each month. That'd be 17.
Mm-hmm.
So sales of 25% over those 2 months, that's 50% higher. So that's a big part of their business. And it's very important to the retail sector, particularly for industry parts of the industry like jewelry or electronics.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand you're leery about the measurements of the economy, one of the indicators that we hear about, for example, consumer confidence, which measures or purports to measure how much we might be liberal with our dollars.
Well, I think measures like consumer confidence and even the overall measure we're talking about, retail sales, those are reflections of the underlying health of the economy, not the cause of it. We tend to get, I think, the causation confused. We tend to think that if we just go out there and do our patriotic duty, buy a new car, or spend a lot of money on our kids, somehow we're going to help lift the economy out of its bootstrap by its bootstraps and save ourselves. I think that's wrong. I think the underlying health of the economy is then reflected in higher retail sales. So they're an interesting measure, but no individual should feel that it's their patriotic duty to buy a lot during December or buy a car to, say, keep America rolling. If you want to keep Ford rolling, it'd be a good thing to buy a car. If you want to keep retailers healthy, it's good to buy things if you like them. But there's nothing inherently good about the for the economy of spending money. It's, I think, a very misleading statement.
So how liberal are you feeling with your dollars these days? And if you're out there spending, what are you spending on? Let's get a little anecdotal and utterly unscientific measure at 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And our first caller is Ted, who's on the line with us from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi there.
Hi, Ted.
Love your show.
Thank you.
And yes, we are cutting back this year for our shopping and holiday spending.
How come?
The economy's real tight, and I work for a construction company, and found out from one of the higher-ups that there's 85 carpenters in our company, and they've got work for 25 for the next couple months. So they are radically cutting back.
Which group are you in, Ted?
I will find out at the end of the week. I'm hoping I'm on the 25, but
so are we.
Yeah, we'll help with you, Ted. I guess if he was a measure of consumer confidence, Ted's confidence would be pretty low right now. Wouldn't that be right, Russell Roberts?
Sure. And again, that's a reflection of that underlying uncertainty in his industry, his market of construction and carpentry skills. We certainly wouldn't want to tell the caller to go out and just spend anyway, even though you're a little bit nervous and anxious about making your bills next month. You ought to just spend. And
I'm pretty tight anyway.
Good for you.
as you look ahead to what's likely to be a pretty nerve-wracking week, Ted, carpentry, I do have to say, and construction, it does tend to be sporadic. There's sometimes when it's good and sometimes when it's not.
Yeah, well, it's been pretty steady for me for close to 20 years. This is the first real scare I've really had to put myself through. I'd already decided to go back to school to increase my educational base.
And what are you going to study?
Construction management, so I can actually run the job.
That's probably, and then you'd be making the decisions.
Pretty much, yeah. It puts a little more control in my hands instead of other people's.
Well, Ted, good luck to you. And maybe there'll be a pickup in construction in Grand Rapids, and maybe they won't have to lay anybody off.
Well, that would be nice. Thanks. Love your show.
Thank you very much, Ted.
Bye-bye.
We're speaking with Russell Roberts about the importance of retail sales in this time of the year. And we're asking you, how liberal are you feeling with your dollars these days? And if you're out there buying stuff for Christmas, we know that a lot of you are, what are you buying? And what sectors of the economy do you think it's important to support? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. Does the state of the economy influence how much you shop at Christmas time? I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the holiday and economy, and we want to hear from you. Do you spend the most money around the holidays, or do you spread it around the year? If you're a retailer, let us know how important the month of December is for you. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Russell Roberts, an economics professor from George Mason University. And Russell Roberts, you were talking about the diminishing importance of Christmas. It used to be about a quarter of the year's sales for most retailers, and it's now down to about 20%. But given the broader question, is this a good idea to pack it all into or pack so much to make December so much a part of not only sales but profits?
Well, it sure makes life tough for retailers. There's a congestion problem. You'll notice anytime you go shopping in December, the parking lot's not big enough. There aren't enough employees, there aren't enough cashiers, there aren't enough people helping you with the purchases. And that's because it's just not profitable enough, and we wouldn't want to pay for the level of service we'd have to get to keep it high throughout the year at that December level. So it's too low in December, and it's too high the rest of the year. The parking lot's too big in June, and it's too small in December. That's not ideal. It would be a lot more effective to spread things throughout the year, and it'd probably be a little more spiritual if we spent less time shopping and more time with our families and thinking about the importance of the holidays and other things besides spending. Spending's nice. It's lovely. I like things. Things are good if you like them. But concentrating them around a number of important religious holidays and with the resulting congestion that it causes is kind of a tough way to go. America would be a better place if we were a little more spiritual, I think.
Well, you're reminded, though, of Scrooge himself. The first thing he did, awakening on Christmas morning, as I recall, newly infused with the spirit of Christmas, was buy a big fat goose.
That's right. That's true. Because geese taste good, they say. I don't think I've ever had one, but there's nothing wrong with buying something as long as its value is greater than what you spend on it. Again, I think that the temptation is to go too far in the other direction, and we ought to just buy things that we value. As long as we do that, I think we'll be okay. I just think there's a strange perception out there that somehow the health of the retail sector, which is just one of many sectors of our economy, is somehow the key to our economic well-being. You know, we hear that about different sectors. Sometimes it's manufacturing, sometimes it's retail. All sectors are valuable, and it's our choices as consumers that really are the ones that count.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Ted, who's with us from San Rafael, California.
Hi, Neil. Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to make a point, and I kind of want to echo what your previous guest had just said. I think America would be a better country if we kind of returned to our the spiritual focus of the holidays. And I think what's happened in our postmodern, be it post-Judeo-Christian society that we're living in, they've made Christmas the source of consumption as opposed to anything spiritual. And I don't mean to be a cosmic killjoy here and to rain on this discussion of the economy. Believe me, I like a good economy like everyone else. But as a Christian, I also think that America has an incredible problem throughout the world, which is that we are a gluttonous country. And to paraphrase the old bumper sticker that you see on the back of liberal cars out here in Berkeley, live simply so that others can simply live. And I think there's some truth in that. And I think that the other thing that none of these economists are discussing right now is that, you know, it's not that the national deficit is an important thing. I don't think it is. I think it's our trade deficit with countries like China. And every time I go to the store and I see people coming back with bags and bags or pallets and pallets of things in these SUVs, invariably they're made in China. So don't you think we ought to be at least trying to purchase more goods made in the United States and try to stop the trend in manufacturing jobs going overseas?
Russell Roberts?
Well, I think I can cheer you up a little bit, maybe. I don't think our materialism takes away from other people's ability to live well. If America were a more spiritual place, which I think would be fine if that's what we desired, our measured economy would be a little bit smaller, and we would be our souls would be fed a little bit better. But I don't think that would enrich any other nations. It wouldn't leave more stuff for other people. So I think you can be spiritual with a good conscience. If that's what speaks to you, you're not going to be hurting the economy, at least the correct measure of the economy, which is our well-being. In terms of buying stuff from China, China's really the toy shop of the world. It's become the North Pole. They make most of our toys, a huge portion of our toys. And although that tends to lead us to have a trade deficit with China, it doesn't really take away jobs for America. It takes away certain kinds of jobs, the toy-making jobs, and allows us to have the capital and freedom to make other types of things that we couldn't otherwise have if we tried to make all of our toys and all of our Christmas ornaments and other things.
Yeah, but isn't it true that for every one product that the United States exports to China, they're probably sending us something like 20 or 30?
Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal for consumers. That would be bad for...
But I mean, ultimately, you know, don't you think that we have to think beyond ourselves and think of the greater society at large and the job losses and the fact that unemployment will be paid out of the federal government and taxes might go up as a result of all these people out of work? I mean, don't you think that there's a... We have to think beyond the notion of the self, which was so venerated, or has been venerated in the last 30 years?
No, I think that's very important. One of the selves I'm concerned with beyond myself is Chinese. They're starving, a lot of them, and I'd like to see them hard at work if they can share some of that prosperity. But I think the connection between the trade deficit and unemployment is and employment is not as close as it might appear at first glance. For the last 30 or so years, we've run a trade deficit every year, yet we've somehow managed to increase the number of jobs in America by 50 million.
Yeah, but so, what kind of jobs are those and what kind of benefits do you have and what is the average wage of those jobs?
A lot higher than it was in 1974. Standard of living in America for the average American is much higher. Now, there are pockets of people who are suffering, and there's no doubt about it, particularly in the manufacturing sector.
Yeah, I just got back from a road trip in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I've seen some serious poverty there.
Yeah, for sure. Tulsa's got some tough places, I'm sure, as do a lot of other states and a lot of other cities. But overall, we're a wealthier nation than we were, and if we only bought from ourselves, if we didn't trade with the rest of the world, I think we'd be even poorer. We'd have the same number of jobs. We'd just have less productivity, and we'd have a lower standard of living. All of us, not just the people in the particular industries we're talking about.
Ted, thanks very much for the call. Interesting question, and we're going to move on to other people, give other people a chance. Okay, Ted, leaving us there. Anyway, joining us now is Ellen Tolley. She's spokesperson for the National Retail Federation, the largest retail trade group in the world. She's with us from her office here in Washington, D.C., and good of you to be with us on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Obviously, your group hopes that people will do a lot of spending around the holidays, don't you?
Well, we're not only hoping. We know that people plan to do a lot of shopping during the holiday season. Most retailers see between 25 and 40% of their annual sales come during this time of year, which is very important for the economy and for a variety of other reasons.
Now, all this spending, how do you think it does affect the economy?
Well, certainly when consumers spend, the economy improves. There's no doubt about it. Also, 1 in 5 working Americans is employed in retail. So not only does this contribute to a healthy stock market and a healthy economy, but it also helps promote jobs.
What kinds of consumer items are reported to be doing well this year?
So far, it looks like clothing is doing very well, and apparel manufacturers and designers should be very happy with numbers that we've seen so far this holiday season. There will also be a pretty big spike this year in books, CDs, DVDs, videos, and video games, as well as the all-important DVD player.
Interesting. We heard from Mark Zandi of Economy.com just a few minutes ago that apparel was not doing particularly well this year, but I guess everybody has different figures.
It looks like from our consumer survey, apparel is the most purchased item this holiday season. That doesn't necessarily mean people are spending the most money on apparel, but it does mean that apparel is the most purchased gift.
I wanted to ask an email question to you that we got from Pam in Woolstock, Iowa. I'm semi-retired and live in a rural area, so I'm shopping online, she writes, and I'm cutting back. No more big gifts. One thing that's kind of funny about retailers being concerned about lagging sales, I've been looking for leapfrog stuff for my grandson, and the most popular items are out of stock or temporary unavailable at Amazon, Toys R Us, Target, Walmart, etc. Same thing with some of the more popular DVDs. Mm-hmm. We can't buy it if the retailers won't stock it.
Well, that is a common theme this holiday season. Most retailers placed their holiday orders during or immediately after the war with Iraq. They weren't expecting a high amount of consumer demand this year, and quite frankly, last year they got burned because their inventory levels were too high. Many of them did scale back on merchandise this year, and we've been saying since September or October, the hot gifts and the hot toys were going to go very quickly, so it was important for consumers to start shopping early.
Now, also we heard in our earlier conversation that some big-ticket items, jewelry, for example, does very well at this time of the year. Does hot selling on big-ticket items hurt stores that sell smaller items, or does it work the other way, or did not have any effect?
Well, we are going to see sales from a lot of different sectors this year, jewelry and luxury. When people buy high-ticket items, it doesn't mean they're not buying smaller items. They just might be buying those types of gifts for different people. Really, the theme this year is that consumers are spending more for the holidays on a variety of items, which should be good news to all retail sectors.
Ellen Tolley, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Ellen Tolley, spokesperson for the National Retail Federation. She was with us from her office in Washington, D.C., and we'll continue our conversation with Russell Roberts, an economics professor at George Mason University, who's with us here in Studio 3A. And I have an email question for you as well. This from Janine Arnold. Regarding the program on right now, I'm not spending any more money than usual this year, but I thought it notable that during a brief shopping trip this past weekend, twice I overheard other shoppers say, "Oh, what the heck, it's only money."
Yeah, well, it is only money, and you can't take it with you as far as we've been told, although technology is always making advances, unexpected advances, and who knows what may be possible in the future. So it is a common theme.
Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Dan, who's with us from Sacramento, California.
Good afternoon. I'm actually buying a pool this holiday season, which is the reason we cut back our holiday purchases. That was the deciding factor, not the economy, not anything else. It was the fact that we're spending so much on a pool. Am I supposed to turn here? I'm sorry, I'm driving.
don't drive into anybody's pool, Dan.
No, I won't. It's I've been thinking about it, though. Almost everybody celebrates Christmas by buying gifts. And I agree with your guest that if we were to return to the meaning of holidays, retailers would see purchases spread out throughout the year. I'm actually not a Christian. I don't really celebrate Christmas, but I do buy the perfunctory gifts for the kids and my wife and such like that. But I agree, we should return to, well, as the cliche goes, the reason for the season.
Before we lose you on your cell phone, do you regard the pool as kind of a Christmas gift for the family or I guess maybe a Memorial Day gift for the family?
Well, it wasn't planned that way, but now that it's being built during the season, we did tell the kids, don't expect anything huge, maybe a pair of socks and some clothes and a video game, but nothing big. That will be our gift to each other. Hmm. And maybe we can even spread it out for the next 5 years or something.
Well, Dan, enjoy your pool and happy holidays.
Thank you, you too.
Drive carefully, by the way.
It's a great country when only getting a video game is a thin Christmas.
Yeah. But is that a common thing? I mean, is there any way to measure that? A lot of families going in for any kind of a big purchase around Christmas time and lumping it all together and say, this is for the family.
I don't know. I think probably some families do it, but most big ticket items, such as automobiles, are smoothly spread throughout the year. You do see the occasional ad during the football games to suggest that it's a seasonal time to buy a car, but in general, they're pretty evenly spread, and I think that's true with most big-ticket items.
We're speaking with Russell Roberts of George Mason University about retail sales, the economy, the importance of those things at this time of the year, and whether that's a good idea. What are you buying? 800-989-8255. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Carol on the line. Carol's in Columbus, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm a retailer, and I do business a little differently. I go throughout the country and set up my shop and different Christmas shows, but these are extremely upscale customers. I mean, these are the people driving the Lexuses and, just very upscale, and it's horrible. And I can tell you that I sell a menagerie of things, hats, jewelry, clothing, all kinds of gifty things, Christmas ornaments. And I have quite a few friends that I've been doing it 17 years. I have quite a few friends that have been doing it. And all I can tell you is it doesn't matter what they're selling. It's bad for everybody out there. Everybody's off anywhere between 30 and 50%. And I don't know.
And what you're saying, Carol, is it's not regional. It's not specific to Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, no. I've been in Oklahoma. I've been in three cities in Texas. I've been all over the country from one end to the other. And I can tell you that whatever. It's making me really upset because whatever they're saying about retail, I'd like to know what crystal ball they're using because I don't see how they can say, well, it's going to be up, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. It's going to be what it is, whatever it turns out to be. And, you know, in other years when everything's been wonderful, they've been out there saying, oh, Christmas is going to be terrible, and they're projecting a certain percentage that it's going to be down. And I'm going, don't say that, because if they think other people aren't spending money, then they won't spend money. But
well, we're losing your cell phone, Carol.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But I wanted to get a response from Russell Roberts. Obviously, even when things are going reasonably well by broad measures of the economy, even in widely scattered parts of the country, you can run into pockets where things are very poor.
Well, I think it's probably a matter of competition in this case. It's a very competitive world out there. Competitive world in every aspect of it, and as a result, there's always going to be some sectors and some retailers who struggle even when they're not representative of the whole. But I think representative of the whole's it's going to be a decent year in terms of the numbers, but there are going to be people who aren't going to do well. It's always the case.
Let's go to John, and John is with us from Grand Ledge, Michigan.
Yes, hello. I was calling to say that I bought my first digital camera this year.
And are you playing with it, or is it wrapped up in Christmas wrapping?
I couldn't wait. I'm playing with it. I've been watching the industry for many years, and they finally came out with one that's a true SLR with interchangeable lenses, high megapixel, and it's truly a pleasure to work with.
And you have it plugged into your computer so you can manipulate all those pictures, too?
Exactly.
And this is something you've been looking forward to, I gather, for some time.
Yes, I've been watching the medium develop over the years, and finally, it's really cost effective to buy one that has so many exciting new features. True SLR, like I say, interchangeable lenses, and it's nice to see that price point get below $1,000. So it's truly a remarkable camera.
But I take it, John, this is a present to yourself.
Mostly yes, but my wife has a. The same camera with a film body, so we'll be able to use it together.
I'm sure she'll get to use it a lot, John.
Yes.
Maybe the one day of the year you let her have her hands on it to take a picture of you, maybe.
Yeah, of course.
In my family, that's called the Indian cookbook present, a reference to a birthday present I gave to my wife. I knew she had a great love of Indian cooking, or would eventually.
John,
with your encouragement.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. John, we hope you have a pleasant holiday and have fun with your camera.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
We appreciate it.
Yep.
And Russell Roberts, we just have about 30 seconds left. What do you think the meaning of this particular holiday retail season is going to be?
Well, I think it's the meaning, whatever it is going to be overhyped and over-discussed. If I have one lesson for today, it would be to pay less attention to any one sector, the retailing sector or others. We tend to think of them as being responsible for the continuing health of the economy, when I think they more reflect it than cause it. If people want to buy stuff, that's great, if they want to enjoy it. And if the economy is good, they will, and they'll be confident. If the economy is not good, they'll be nervous and they won't buy. But I think it's a pretty good time right now.
Russell Roberts, thanks for coming in, and we certainly hope you enjoy your holiday season.
You too, Neil.
Russell Roberts is the economics professor from George Mason University. He was with us here in Studio 3A. After the break, The Kindness of Strangers, stories from Globetrotters about invaluable help they got from total strangers. If you want to call us, 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.